Let us pray. O God, with glad and thankful hearts we gather this day about the table of blessed assurance, and your provisions quench the thirst of our souls and the hunger of our hearts. And in humble dependence, we entrust ourselves to your welcome embrace. We've witnessed refreshing, life-giving rains transform the hidden potential of spent flowers into nourishing fruit. The warm caress of the sun's light has awakened the hidden sweetness of that which left in darkness would remain bitter. Rain upon us with living water and awaken within us the hidden and suppressed giftedness of your people. By your Spirit, fan to flame the transforming light of Christ within us to dispel confining bitterness and fear and make way for liberating hopefulness. God, your mercies are new every morning, and on this new day, brimming with potential healing and reconciliation, liberation and restoration, we pray. Bless caregivers, nurses, and doctors and their healing work. God, inspire our government leaders with your kingdom principles, with visions of harmony and interdependence. And God, protect and sustain the peacemakers in the crossfire of power and domination and greed. God, equip and prepare the way for your gospel messengers, your missionaries, and open the ears and hearts of their hosts. God, free those who have much to share, and help enable those with little or none. God, lift up the fearful above the darkened skies to glimpse at your eternal reign and rule. O patient, loving God, we, your children, await perhaps hesitantly and less so eagerly for your call upon our lives to possess us and move us to be your transformative new creation people in a far from welcoming world. Grant to us the courage to confidently take up our cross and walk in the way of our host for the meal we share today. Your Son, our Savior and our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's listen to the words of the psalmist, Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I bless you. I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Thank you. Sabbath, Father, hear me when I cry. Where or in whom does my hope lie? I'm but dust and ashes in a dry and weary land. Thirsty is my soul, yet I cling to who I am. Stumbling blindly, walking in the night, my eyes fail me, I long for morning light. I have long depended, and strengths I felt I had. Today I'm weak and feeble, and my heart is growing sad. Abba, Father, my only hope is you. Without your love, what am I to do? You're the source of living water, the light that guides my way. My heart is full of joy as I look forward to a brand new day. Abba, Father, hear me when I cry. Woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Life is a pit. Life is unfair. All of us at one time or another has reached a low, a dark, lonely place, bereft of hope, bereft of light, and in groans and sighs and cries, we've tried to articulate a yearning that words alone cannot express. So it's not a surprise then to find that the lamentations of the human spirit are most closely expressed in the poetry of the heart. Like the psalmist, we point to tangibles and employ metaphors to communicate the longings that are beyond words, and thirsting in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And as Eugene Peterson translates in The Message, I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy and smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. And contemporary artists appeal to music and poetry to summon hope, to summon a response from the mystery that is the soul's satisfaction. Mick Jagger and the Stones, right, claim they can't find it, right? I can't get no satisfaction, right? And Bono and the band U2 claim, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And the Apostle Paul claims after all his searching in Philippians 3, yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. And more than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based in faith, on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Friends, the experience of knowing God is more life-sustaining and more satisfying than food and drink. Knowing God is as basic and necessary to life as water and protein. This is no intellectual or theoretical knowing of God. It is knowing that affects us down to the level of our DNA. Martin Buber, in his book, I and Thou, says, that for which we live, that in which we live, that of which and into which we live, the mystery has remained as it was. It has become present for us, and through its presence it has made itself known to us as salvation. We have known it, but we have no knowledge of it that might diminish or extenuate its mysteriousness. When we know God at this level, we cling to God with our very lives. We never cease to be desirous of God. The early 19th century hymn writer James Montgomery said that prayer is the soul's desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of the eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, a watchword at the gates of death. We enter heaven with prayer. Friends, heaven is the soul's home. It is the place where God reigns and is present. It is not necessarily the sweet by and by, but rather a place that Jesus claims can be within us. The kingdom of God is within you, he said. Why is it then that we seek other things, other answers, or refuse to seek at all after that which for which the soul's very vitality depends? I believe that among the reasons we do not desire communion with God is that we look for soul satisfaction in those things that cannot satisfy our soul needs. Neil Walsh, in his book Conversations with God, observes, the world is filled with essentially two kinds of people: those who give you things you want and those who fix things. And in a sense, even those who simply give you things you want, the butchers, the bakers, the candlestick makers, are also fixers. For to have a desire for something is often to have a need for it. And that is why addicts are said to need a fix. Be careful, therefore, that a desire does not become an addiction. Friends, we have an innate hunger and thirst to know and be known by God. However, it is also our human tendency to seek immediate gratification and cheap temporary solutions. We also do not seek desire and yearn for God's presence because we are afraid of what we might find. We fear rejection. We fear punishment. We fear that God will not be there. Earlier, we heard the prophet Isaiah exhort us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We do not seek because we pretend that we have no need. We think of ourselves as self-sufficient. And this, I believe, is the idolatry of the age. It was no surprise to me to hear or to read yesterday in the Free Press, a columnist, Bruce Tallman, was responding to the death of Tim Keller, pastor, Christian apologist, who died just recently in May. And in his article, Bruce stated that Keller claimed people cannot live without meaning, identity, freedom, and satisfaction. And Christianity has unparalleled resources to meet all these basic needs. Meaning comes from believing your life has a God-ordained purpose. It is not a random accident of nature. Identity comes from believing who you really are is a beloved child of God, not just a cog in society's machinery. Freedom comes from believing God loves you as you are, flaws and all, which frees you from our competitive, capitalistic mediocrity and only loves you for what you can produce. Satisfaction comes from believing only God can fully satisfy our longings. He goes on, without God, we always desire things that fail to fully satisfy us once we get them. Money, knowledge, sex, fame, and power. Never complete our longing for more. And to make things worse, or things more, and to make things more important than God is idolatry, the worship of false gods. Friends, rather than seek the source of our soul, we proclaim ourselves as authors and finishers of our lives. The poet William McGonagall, in The Little Match Girl, writes something that I believe serves as a warning to those who regard themselves as self-sufficient. As night wore on, her hands were numb with cold, and no longer her strength could her uphold. When an idea into her little head came, she'd strike a match and warm her hands at the flame. And she lighted the match, and it burned brightly, and it helped to fill her heart with glee. And she thought she was sitting at a stove very grand. But alas, she was found dead with a match in her hand. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you now. In your presence we humbly bow. We are your children, dependent on you. Take our hearts and let them be one with you eternally. Never far from you. Create in us a heart that sings, in spite of what this world may bring. Our souls resting upon the wing of your love, your love. Guide us where still waters flow, green pastures where our love will grow, dark valleys where we still know your love, your love. Living water you can give to a soul that longs to live. We will thirst no more. Hand in hand we'll go your way, looking to you day to day. Never far from you. Create in us a heart that sings, in spite of what this world may bring. Our soul resting upon the wing of your love, your love. Guide us where still waters flow, green pastures where our love will grow, dark valleys where we still know your love, your love. We are one within your love. Let's stand as we sing, step by step.